Welcome to Dark Florida, where the Sunshine State secrets come out after dark. I'm Brooke Moreland, your guide into the shadowy corners of Florida and beyond, from unsolved crimes to haunted legends, from cryptid sightings to bizarre news. Here, the strange isn't just a story, it's a way of life. So grab a flashlight and keep your wits about you. Join me as we uncover the mysteries hiding in the swampy undergrowth. This is Dark Florida. Stay curious and stay strange. Casadega is a Seneca Indian word meaning water beneath the rocks. It is a small community that is located in Volusia County, Florida. It's also known as the psychic capital of the world. And since its inception in 1875 by George P. Colby, the town's roots lie in the tradition of spiritualism. And spiritualism is a movement that is based on the belief that the departed souls can interact with the living. Some claim the land exists in an energy vortex, with a thin veil separating the living from the dead, making it prime real estate for those of the spiritualist faith. Casadega currently stands as the oldest active religious community in the southeastern United States. And mystery shrouds the stories of Casadega. So let's start in the beginning. George P. Colby, he founded Casadega. He was born on January 6th, 1848, in Pike, New York. He was a Capricorn. In the winter of 1860, when George was 12, he was baptized in a nearby lake. Soon after his baptism, George claimed that his uncle's spirit came to him when he was in the water, and it told him that he was a great psychic and revealed a message that he would one day found a spiritualist camp in the southern United States. So this really catapulted him into learning more and fine-tuning his abilities. In his teens, his mediumship skills grew, and they included clairvoyance, spiritual readings, and healings. This displeased George's devout Baptist parents, and they reacted with harsh physical abuse. In 1867, he left his parents and he left the church. He started attending spiritualist camp meetings in Lilydale, New York, which is the town adjacent to Casadega, New York, which would go on to become the name of the Florida community. What's interesting about the story here is when I started looking into Casadega, I didn't realize how far this would take me. And so this will definitely be a multi-parter, for sure, because it's like when you pull a string and you just keep following that thread, and then it leads to another, which leads to another. Definitely, the story of Casadega has taken me down some rabbit holes, and I want to do them justice. So one thing we're going to be circling back on is the town, Lilydale, New York. Back to George, though. He became known locally for his healing and clairvoyant abilities. That's how he made his living, was through those public demonstrations of his mediumship skills. He began traveling to perform private readings and parlor seances. During his travels, he would just accept whatever payment from his clients he thought was fair. News was circulating of his gift. It was earning him recognition as a major legit medium. People said that he could often speak so accurately of the facts that he could recall about people's dead relatives. Where spiritualism birthed out of was a time right after the Civil War when there was a lot of urbanization of cities. People were looking towards science more, and they were trying to get in touch with loved ones that had been lost. Famously, Mary Todd Lincoln actually was a spiritualist herself and tried to contact Abraham Lincoln. At this time, people were seeking out mediums as a form of closure. George, like many mediums, he acquired a set of spirit guides. George claimed to have regular communication with several spirit guides, but notably, he was communicating through an entity that was a Native American who called himself Seneca. It was during one of these seances that Seneca described to Colby a piece of land that he should build a spiritualist retreat on. Now, evidence of the context of this revelation is scarce, and some accounts suggest that this critical communication occurred at the home of T.D. Giddings in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, while others suggested it happened while Colby was traveling in Iowa. But wherever the origin of this message was, it seemed like Colby took it seriously because later that year, in October of 1875, Colby headed south. He arrived in Jacksonville, Florida by train. He then took a boat south up the St. Johns River to Blue Springs Landing. From there, he traveled through dense scrub by foot until they arrived in the location that Seneca had described, which is on the shores of what now we know as Lake Colby, which is north of modern Deltona. As someone who goes out and actively hunts Bigfoot, I'll tell you, the Florida wildlife is no joke. It is incredibly dense out there. And in some areas, it is simply impassable. So I can't even imagine the journey that he had in 1875 doing that all by foot. It's just really incredible when you think about it. On December 18th in 1894, he created a charter for the Southern Casadega Spiritualist Camp. On January 3rd in 1895, Colby signed the deed for 35 acres. The association later received additional acreage, bringing the camp to current day 57 acres. Two people who were really instrumental and vital in the forming of the association was E.W. Bond and Marion Skidmore. Bond supplied the materials for the original camp structures, and people knew Skidmore as, quote, the mother of the camp. Both of them came from the Lilydale Assembly, which was the spiritual camp in Lilydale, New York, which is still active today. Colby helped get the land for the camp and built a house there, although he did not live there full time. Colby visited the camp on and off for the rest of his life, where he served as the camp's spiritual leader and lecturer. He spent his time touring the country as a medium, lecturer, and a spiritualist leader. He put on plays, he grew citrus, and he actually adopted several children. But Colby returned to Casadega for the last time in 1933, and this is where his health really began to fail. But the camp members rallied around him and provided him with a place to live and saw to his needs up until his passing. At the time of his death, he actually was bankrupt. He died on July 27th, 1933. So now that we've kind of laid the groundwork for you about where Casadega came from, who George Colby was, let's get into current day Casadega. If you take a trip there, the architecture in Casadega has remained mostly unchanged since it was first settled in the 1800s. This led the community to be added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1991. It is rich in mystery and history. The Southern Casadega Spiritualist Camp that Colby created currently has a hotel, an auditorium, a library, a bookstore, a healing center, and of course, a Colby Memorial Temple that is surrounded by sunflowers and surrounded by lots of local lore. Today, the Spiritualist Camp is the largest spiritualist community in the South. And currently, it has a board of trustees and is registered as a nonprofit organization. And the residents are mediums, healers, psychics. The town people, they chose to share and cultivate a community of like-minded people. They really wanted to live, worship, and work in harmony with their spiritualist beliefs. The community itself offers a variety of activities, including church services, meditation classes, and spiritualism lessons. They also offer spiritual counseling, historic tours, psychic readings, and ghost tours. One of the main buildings is the Andrew Jackson Davis Building. It once served as the camp's original recreation hall, but it's now a bookstore and an information center. Now, moving on to probably what brought a lot of you here today. I know when I first heard of Casadega, this is what kind of piqued my interest. This is one of the stories I heard about it before I visited that really made me go, okay, I need to visit this place. And that was that Casadega is said to sit on a vortex, a point of concentrated psychic energy. The vortex is natural, but other vortexes in the area are man-made, created by the psychic activity that the town is known for. Some other vortexes are said to exist at sites like Stonehenge and the location of the pyramids in Giza. Now, it is within this vortex that the Casadega Cemetery lies. And ironically, the town of Casadega itself is without a cemetery. The residents are buried half a mile north at the haunted Lake Helen Casadega Cemetery. The gravestones there date back to the 1800s. Colby himself is among those who are buried there. Of course, within this vortex, a menacing red brick bench known as the most famous of all devil's chairs reside. It is an oversized stone chair that is said to summon the devil himself when a visitor takes a seat. Many have claimed to see the devil himself sitting in the chair, as well as it being the pinnacle of a lot of unexplained phenomena. This devil chair is an oversized stone chair. The term devil's chair sometimes is referred to by a less demonic term, such as the haunted chair. It's part of a folklore that's found in numerous places in America. It frequently is attached to the kind of funeral or memorial sculpture that was typical in the United States during the 19th century. These graveyards and cemeteries sometimes included carved chairs for the comfort of visitors. In the Victorian era, these cemeteries were often laid out like parks, and people would picnic in them. Part of this park-like mystique was a functional chair and benches, often known as mourning chairs. The cemeteries have since provided benches for visitors. Now, in reality, some of the chairs were probably not intended to be used as anything other than a monument. Once the original purpose of these chairs sort of fell out of fashion, a lot of superstitions developed in association with the act of sitting in them. Out of this tradition, almost any forgotten bench or chair could hypothetically enter the vernacular as a devil's chair. Some of the lore that is surrounding this particular one here in Casadega is stories suggest that a person who's brave enough to sit in the chair might be punished for sitting in it or rewarded for their courage. Those who have sat in the chair often report hearing voices in their head when they're seated, and others say that the devil himself is sometimes said to appear for anyone who sits in the chair. According to one of the local legends surrounding this Casadega devil's chair, is if you leave a can of beer unopened on the chair, you can come back in the morning and the beer will be gone and the can will remain unopened, or the beer can itself is simply gone. However, there is one local tale that I believe is the most frightening of them all. And it is about a young man who dared to sit in this chair at midnight on All Hallows Eve. His friends watched him walk into the cemetery, making his way between the headstones, and lo and behold, he makes his way to the devil's chair before he faded into the darkness of the night. This was the last they claim he was ever seen. It seems he found his way to the chair, and when the clock struck midnight, after that, he simply disappeared. Some say that Satan himself appeared and dragged him kicking and screaming to hell, and others say he was just a victim of the energy vortex that's there and was swallowed up by the forces of Earth. The truth might be somewhere in the middle, but either it is terrifying to comprehend. To this day, the cemetery still attracts nearby ghost hunters or anyone really looking for a thrill. They keep especially tight security there on Halloween. Unfortunately, people have been known to vandalize the cemetery and some of the graves, sometimes chipping off pieces of the headstone to take home with them. Some of the local mediums and psychics from the town, they're known to actually block the road on Halloween as people try to sneak in there and attempt to contact the dead. So don't go there at nighttime. You will be trespassed. The devil chair sits within the cemetery, a hulking, silent ornament awaiting for someone to have a seat. Like a siren, it calls. When I was doing my research, I did see a lot of photos of people sitting in the devil's chair. Upon my visit to Casadega, I regret that I didn't have time to go by the cemetery, but I am planning to go back and actually stay at the hotel that's there. But I don't think I'd have a seat. I'm a little too nervous. I saw a lot of pictures of people sitting in the chair, and I think that'll be a no for me. I will, however, visit the cemetery. And so back to the myth. The beer myth was apparently really popular amongst the locals. A local Red Cypress brewery in Winter Springs actually released a beer called Devil's Chair prior to its closure in 2019. They did confirm that the beer was inspired by the local legend of Casadega. Where the Devil's Chair is kind of located in the cemetery is part of a family burial plot, and it is the Thatcher family. Other legends about the Devil's Chair stem back through the 20th century. It has a well-documented history of what can only be described as the unexplained. People have said to have taken photos and seen things like energy orbs, and there have been paranormal researchers who have gone out there with their equipment to see if they can get any activity. They have reported back substantial amounts of activity. Others claim that they've even seen Colby himself walking the rows. One of the oldest legends that surround the cemetery has to do with one of the residents who's buried there. In the 1920s, George Thatcher was mourning his wife and daughter who were buried here. He decided to build a brick bench so he could sit by their graves, grieve, and talk to them and work through his grief. One of the popular rumors is that a dark figure can be seen sitting in the chair at night. Some believe it may be him, Thatcher. The story says that he tried to make a deal with the devil to bring his loved ones back. No one knows whether he got his wish or not, but obviously we are still talking about the devil's chair. It is shrouded in mystery and paranormal activity for sure. Now, if we're talking about Casadega, we can't help but talk about the Casadega Hotel. When you arrive in town, it is a beautiful Spanish mission-style hotel. It is haunted, but with friendly spirits. The hotel shop is sell these cute little t-shirts that read Mayberry meets the Twilight Zone. I think that that's definitely a really accurate description of the town. I do have plans to return and stay in Hotel Casadega and bring you guys my experience. Like I said, I have been, but my time there was brief. It's about 2.5 hours away from where I live, which if you're in Florida, you know that turns quickly into a 3 or 4 hour trip because of traffic. So I'll definitely be going back very soon to investigate further. But for now, I'll keep telling you about the hotel. You can even say that the Hotel Casadega is haunted by multiple spirits. It's dark and frozen in time. There have been many seances that have taken place there. It may be haunted, but it's also a place that you can get your tarot read, meet some psychics. They even have an area where you can grab some lunch. The lobby, when you walk in, it's decorated with vintage furnishings and antique that the owner, Diana Morin, has collected over the years, including a classic circular courting sofa, which dates back to 1883. They have Tiffany-style lamps and tapestries. The hotel has 22 rooms, and on the ground floor, there is a beautiful wraparound porch. While the second story doesn't have a balcony, it has some narrow hallways that are lined with mirrors. And I actually had a reading by one of the psychics there. I just can't explain the energy that is there. You can definitely feel it. Is it psychosomatic? I don't know. But you kind of walk up these staircases and it's all original wood. And so it's like a little creaky and you're walking up the stairs and there's just mirrors at every turn. There's just natural light pouring in. So it does feel almost otherworldly. But the hotel itself was built originally in 1901. It was owned by Emma J. Huff. It was intended to be a boarding house and a hotel for those visiting the spiritualist camp. Unfortunately, it burned down Christmas night along with several other buildings in 1926, but it was quickly rebuilt in 1927. Now, fast forward a little bit. In 1979, Diana bought the hotel on a whim after coming down from Wisconsin to visit some friends who were snowbirds. Per her accounts, she's been there pretty much ever since, hosting guests, spirits, and anyone else who passes through. However, Diana herself is not a spiritualist, but on her very first night in the hotel after buying it, she said she saw a spirit. These are her words. She said it was like seeing her husband right there. She had an encounter in the lobby's main stairway where there was a man in a black suit who appeared to be staring at her. Just talking about it, I have chills because I can clearly picture that stairway and it just has that vibe. She said that he was looking at her and that she could see him, but it was kind of transparent. She could definitely tell that he is not human. He was transparent, sort of, but not really, but he was close to it. So she encountered a full body apparition on her first night there. And one of the most popular ghost stories is the hotel's resident ghost, Arthur. People theorize that's who she saw. They describe him as an Irish ghost who haunts the hotel. There's been reports that he drags a chair to the end of the hall to look out the window. Other hotel guests have claimed to catch glimpses of him just at the end of the hall. Also have caught the smell of gin and cigars, which Arthur was apparently fond of. Diana was not the only one to have such a sighting. The hotel does not allow children to stay overnight, but guests will come up to people at the front desk after staying and say, "I thought you said that there were no kids allowed here." People report hearing sounds of a little girl or a little boy playing together in the hallway. They'll hear the tricycle bells, and people also regularly photograph orbs in the guest rooms and the hallways of the hotel. Besides a brush-in with the paranormal, Hotel Casadega also offers anything from Reiki sessions to tarot readings, seances, and astrological readings as well. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey to Casadega, where the veil between worlds feels just a little thinner. Whether it's the whispers of the spirits or the energy of the town or the unanswered mysteries lingering in the shadows, there is always more to discover. If you enjoyed exploring Florida's most haunted town, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share Dark Florida with anyone who craves the strange and the unexplained. Do you have your own Casadega experience or know of a story that's begging to be uncovered? Because I'd love to hear it. Connect with me on social media, on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast, or you can send me an email at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll dig deeper together. Until next time, stay curious, stay strange, and keep your eyes open. You never know what you might find in the corners of Dark Florida.